All right, so this morning, if I seem to be relying on my notes a little bit more than normal, it's because this all got rewritten yesterday and this morning. Just because of what's happening in the world. If you've never joined us before, thank you so much for being here. I would love to meet you. You know, put your information on the connection card at the end. I'll make sure to connect with you. Again, my name is Greg Hampton. I'm one of the pastors here. Today, we are starting a series called How To. And like I said, I did write a sermon for this. I promise. I did my job, and I wrote a sermon. And then the world was just what the world was this week. So throughout the course of the next 5 weeks, we are going to do some pretty practical how-to. We're going to talk about how to pray, how to study the scriptures, how to fellowship. Maybe the last one might be how to serve. But this week, there was just too much happening that it didn't feel right. Like, I'm just going to go with this sermon that I got into the can by Wednesday afternoon. As of right now, by one report, 680,000 people have died in Gaza. 680,000. And the majority of those are believed to be children. Hundreds of thousands of people have died in what seems to be a completely senseless war between Ukraine and Russia. In 2025, there have been 9 school shootings in America. There have been 309 mass shootings in America. In June, 2 politicians in Minnesota were killed in their homes. Another 2 were injured in their homes. And this week, a political commentator and activist was publicly assassinated in front of thousands of people on a college campus. Jesus said in John 16, "Do you now believe the hour is coming? Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution and will have troubles, but take courage, for I have overcome the world." There are moments when it does not feel like Jesus has overcome the world. I said there are moments when it feels like Jesus has not overcome the world. One thing after another, as each thing happened this week, my feelings told me that Jesus has not conquered the world. Dr. King said, "Violence multiplies violence, and toughness multiplies toughness in a descending spiral of destruction." And so when Jesus says, "Love your enemies," he is setting forth a profound and ultimately inescapable admonition. Have we not come to such an impasse in the modern world that we must love our enemies or else? The chain reaction of evil, hate begetting hate, wars producing wars, must be broken, or we shall be plunged into the dark abyss of annihilation. We have to stop the chain action. We have to stop the dominoes from falling one into the other. And even when I don't feel like Jesus has overcome all of the darkness of the world, I do believe it. I may not feel it, but I believe it. The challenging part is to get that belief to overcome my feelings. Instead of the other way around, On Thursday, someone messaged me. They said that they felt so angry. They are a person that has been pushed to the margins. They are a person that is easy to cover with hateful words in the name of religion. They walked away from church many, many years ago, but they said they still believe in Jesus. They messaged me because they felt that they had said some things the day before in that morning about what had happened in Utah on Wednesday that didn't reflect what they thought about Jesus, because they were saying it out of all the anger that they felt. They asked me what they should do with all the anger that they feel. Because the person that had died had said a lot of things that made it easy for a lot of people to mistreat them. But again, they said, I know it's not what Jesus wants, I just don't know how to turn it off. I said, read the Sermon on the Mount. I said, but don't just read it. Let it read into you. Really hear Jesus saying it. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' words. Read them, and if you believe in Jesus, then hear Jesus saying them to you. Let the Spirit shape you as you listen to the words that you are reading, as you listen to the words that we believe that Jesus spoke. And then, as you pray through the words of those scriptures multiple times, let the words of Jesus shape who you will be now and what you will say next. As I thought and I prayed on what we should do with our time, I came to the same conclusion. My sermon about what order the words belong, believe, and become should be was going to be a great sermon, I promise. But today, we need to do the same thing that I asked them to do. Because the next day I saw on their Facebook page an apology saying that they know that they need to learn how to love people that don't love them. And that was not me, that was the words of Jesus. We all need the words of Jesus. The world needs us to have the words of Jesus inside of us, guiding our feet and our hands and our mouths, so that the way that we act does something to remove the domino from all of the things that are falling one after another. We have to remove something from the chain reaction, y'all. And if we will douse ourselves in the waters of our baptism, we will not be ignited by the hatred of the world. If we will let ourselves be covered and identified by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we will not be ignited by the fires of rage. Because I believe that Jesus loves this world. I believe that Jesus has taught us how to love the world. And I hope that today, that this will shape our hearts to break the cycle wherever each one of us is in that cycle. So what's going to happen is I'm going to read the longest passage of scripture that's ever been read on a Sunday morning at the house. It's chapters 5, 6, and 7. I was telling people earlier, there's a pastor, social activist, Christian activist, who co-founded something called the Red Letter Christians, and back in 2006, he went to the Youth Specialties Conference, or whatever it was called back then, 10,000 people that worked in youth ministry in an arena. I happened to be there because I was living near Atlanta, and he came out, and he'd been paid to come and bring some great message as one of the speakers of one of the main sessions, and he came out, he opened his Bible, he read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he closed his Bible and he left the stage. And when people were angry with him that all he did was speak the words of Jesus, he said, "There was nothing better that I could have said to you." So I'm going to read, and then we're going to go back through it, and I'm going to pick out sections for us to pray about. I'm going to have a couple of the elders around the building, and if at any point is something that we're praying, if it feels difficult for you, if it feels like something that you don't know how to remove that part of you from the chain reaction, or if you know something that's happening that you need to pray about, then come to one of those people and we will pray. I will not ask you to stand because it will be very long. Father, may your Spirit bring to life the words of Jesus as though he were saying them to us now. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him. Or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid that last penny. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, or for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you in the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother and sister, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. When you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they receive their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who sees in the secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? Then why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and for his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a snake, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. The first thing I want to pray about is all of the marginalized people that you know. You can interpret that how you want. When Jesus gives the Beatitudes, the blessed bees, he's praying for all of the ones that are marginalized, telling them how they will be blessed in all of the ways that the wealthy think that they can buy. So let us spend a moment praying for that. And if Marissa would come up over here, and if Eric would come up over here, if anyone wants to pray about any of these things with an elder, they will be present. He says we need our saltiness, that we need our light. He's telling us not to be bland. He's telling us not to be dimly lit. Let us pray for our own courage, that we might shine in the way that Jesus calls us to. He tells us to be careful with how we use our anger. He says we can use our anger in a way that is the equivalent of having murdered someone. That how we think and feel in our hearts about other people matters. Let's take a moment to confess and turn away from the way we have held anger against others. Gives one of the most difficult lessons, to not resist an evildoer, to let them take your shirt, to go the extra mile, to let them slap you again, to love our enemies, to pray for those that persecute us, because as the Proverbs had said, he causes the sun to rise on both, the wealthy and the poor, the righteous and the unrighteous. Let's pray for the ways that we have fought when Jesus has asked us to let go. He tells us it matters what's behind our eyes. That if there is not light in our eyes, that it affects our entire lives. He's telling us that it matters what we look at, what we fill ourselves with. Let's let God shape us now about how we're using our eyes and our time, what we ingest, and what comes out because of it. Jesus reminds us that with the measure that we judge, we will be judged. That we have keen vision to see the tiny speck of sand in someone else's eye when we're ignoring the 2x4 we're holding in front of our face. Let's pray about the ways that we have found ourselves judging others while we have ignored the sins of our own hearts and our own lives. He teaches us the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Just pray for a moment about how we have switched that. How at times we do to others as we feel they've done to us. Instead of offering the kindness that we hope that we would receive, or the love, or the gentleness, the forgiveness, the benefit of the doubt. Finally, he tells us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of what he has said, because it shapes and forms a house that is either built on sand or rock. The love of Jesus is immovable, cannot be shaken. And yet there is something about how we follow Jesus that affects the foundation of the house of faith that we build. So spend a moment praying for a good foundation. If you feel you have built on sand by ignoring the words of Jesus, then start over. Build on rock. Jesus, we thank you for your words. Pray that you would help us to remove ourselves from the chain reaction that leads from war to war, from violence to violence, from hate to hate. That you would fill our eyes with light, for you are the light of the world. Fill us with your very presence. Help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers, so that this house might be built on rock as each of our individual houses of faith in each of our hearts is built on your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.